Welcome to Green Pointer's first podcast. We're bringing you these podcasts to introduce to you Green Pointers who are making a difference in our community. I sat down with Lincoln Ressler for brunch in my home on August 25th, and we talked about his upcoming race and what Brooklyn means to him.
I did bring some muffins, if that has any interest.
All right, muffins, of course. How do you like your eggs?
Whatever you
want. Why don't you talk about your role and what that means to be state committeeman?
State committeeman. It's also known as district leader, a little bit better known as district leader, but it officially appears on the ballot as state committeeman. So that's the phrase that we try to get out into the ether. Basically, I was elected 2 years ago to this position, which is to be the leader of the Democratic Party for our assembly district, which is Greenpoint, all the north side, the Italian-Williamsburg area, much of the south side, all the Jewish community in southern Williamsburg, and some of Fort Greene and Clinton Hill. A good set of neighborhoods, a diverse area, large area, and I ran for this position because, you know, as somebody who grew up in Brooklyn all my life, felt like there was a real void in leadership, and that with the dramatic and rapid, you know, changes happening in our neighborhoods, that we didn't have elected officials that were stepping up and looking out for what were in the best interests of our communities. And you know, I feel that if we can build a stronger, more active, more progressive local Democratic Party where our neighbors feel a sense of ownership of what's going on in the community and a stake in kind of the neighborhood, that we can do a better job of holding our elected officials accountable and making sure that our issues and priorities and concerns are being addressed and responded to in local government.
So what was Brooklyn like when you were growing up here? And where did you grow up?
So I grew up in the downtown Brooklyn. Thank you so much. Just served an awesome-looking plate of brunch. I grew up in the downtown Brooklyn Heights area, and, you know, I'm 28. I'm pretty young, and for me, there was a transition probably right around during middle school where, you know, these same blocks where all my friends were getting mugged when we were in 5th and 6th grade, by like 7th, 8th, 9th grade, were like, got really fancy. And it happened so fast. Like, Dumbo was created, and Smith Street became a destination, and, you know, the North Side, like, evolved as a place where, like, people would go to hang out. But the neighborhoods also become incredibly expensive.
I asked Lincoln for his take on the current Democratic leadership in Brooklyn.
I would say everything relates to Vito, one way or another.
Okay, and who is he and what does he do?
He is an assemblyman. He represents parts of Williamsburg and Bushwick in the New York State Assembly. And he also has served as the chair of the Housing Committee in the Assembly. So there's major influence on all housing-related policy, affordable housing, loft issues, etc. And he also is the chairman of the Brooklyn Democratic Party.
Okay.
He is known as the Brooklyn Democratic boss.
Okay.
And he has ruled Brooklyn politics with an iron fist. Essentially, he has a cohort of elected officials who are his proteges or cronies, and they don't do or think or act without his consent and approval.
Right.
And yeah, I feel very strongly that we need elected officials that are independent-minded and responsive to the needs of the community.
Right.
And, you know, Vito has been facing 5 different federal investigations for some time. And just yesterday, you know, tragically, it came out that he had been sexually harassing at least 2 female staffers in his office, and seems to have committed sexual assault. You know, he was stripped of his position as chairman of the Housing Committee in the Assembly and essentially lost all of his power within that chamber. And I think in the very near future, he is likely to lose his perch as chairman of the Brooklyn Democratic Party.
What about all the environmental concerns here in Greenpoint?
We have Newtown Creek, which is the waterway that separates Brooklyn and Queens, which has recently been designated a Superfund site. And this is a great development for our neighborhood because Superfund is an EPA, an Environmental Protection Agency, federal designation that will basically ensure that over, you know, what may perhaps be an extended period of time, the polluters who are responsible for the kind of the dirtying of our creek are going to be held responsible to clean it up.
Has there ever been a public health survey done about the impact of these environmental problems on the health of people living here?
There's been a very modest there was a very modest survey completed for a very small area in direct proximity to the creek. But we've been working with the New York State Department of Health to advocate for a much more comprehensive survey to assess what have been the health impacts.
So we have the oil spill, which is basically under the ground in most of North Brooklyn from
right.
years of dumping.
Well, that's it. I mean, this was the second largest oil spill in the history of the country.
And whose responsibility is it now to clean that up?
Well, it's primarily the oil spill was the responsibility of ExxonMobil. And as a result of their culpability and the decades that have passed, they signed an agreement with the Office of the Attorney General thanks to a lawsuit that was put forward by Riverkeeper and a half dozen neighborhood residents that requires ExxonMobil to invest significantly in cleaning up the remnants of the spill and providing $19.5 million in compensation to the community for projects that will green our neighborhood and improve our public health. They support a variety of other local initiatives, like you said, an Earth Day that I think Town Square organizes in McCarran Park and provides funding to the Friends Group at McGolrick Park. It's a tricky balance for community groups that are doing environmental work to handle, because you're on the one hand eager to take the money to be able to support your projects and initiatives, and it shouldn't necessarily have any impact on what you would be doing on those projects and initiatives. But at the same time, Exxon is not a corporation with a sterling track record locally or globally. I really encourage everybody to join Outrage, which is a neighborhood organization that is focused on garbage equity and diminishing truck traffic in our community. So that is a great group and is looking to expand its ranks. Secondly, you know, I see you at the farmers market often on Saturdays carrying your compost, and I do the same, and it's really important that we compost everything that we can, which will significantly reduce the waste that we generate. Additionally, we need to be recycling.
The men's shelter. Do you have any involvement in this? And everyone is very up in arms about this shelter that is opened on McGinnis Boulevard. From my understanding, it's a men's shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And is it, if you can just explain what's going on and
absolutely
what the concerns are. And
so, first things first, anybody who lives in Greenpoint knows that we have a major crisis of homelessness in our community, in our parks, in our train stations, often people lying on the street who are, if not homeless, not welcomed or comfortable returning to their home. And these individuals tend to have major substance abuse problems, and it seems primarily are from the Polish community. I think it's our responsibility to look out for the people who live in our community. And that was one of our major complaints about this new assessment shelter at McGinnis and Clay.
What does that mean, assessment shelter?
When somebody goes into the shelter system, they go through, they are first directed to what's called an assessment shelter, where you will stay for up to 30 days. And it's during that time that the Department of Homeless Services and their vendor that runs the shelter, some community-based organization, will assess your needs as a homeless individual and where is the appropriate place for you to be referred or transferred. And they heard from us that we wanted more services for our local population, that we didn't want homeless services for the citywide population when we have such a clear and dramatic need locally. And they responded by providing support to the new shelter that will be a longer-term place for neighborhood residents, and also by devoting 20 of the 200 beds to direct service kind of walk-ins.
So let's talk about the development on the waterfront. This is a huge concern for people living in Greenpoint, especially near the waterfront.
Definitely. I share their concerns. Back in 2005, when the city and some of our elected officials, like Vito Lopez, unfortunately, cut a deal to rezone our waterfront on the north side and Greenpoint, essentially the city was allowed, changed the zoning to allow developers to build 30 and even 40-story buildings in certain instances along our waterfront. Now, to me, what makes Brooklyn special, and a lot of parts of Queens special, is that we are horizontal communities, right? It's a few stories, five stories, six stories even. We know our neighbors, right? You know the business people down the block? It's a community. And when you build these vertical high-rise luxury developments, I worry that we lose that sense of community, right? And
aren't there promises of affordable housing?
Well, that's it.
And also open space for the waterfront?
Well, when the rezoning was passed, there were a great number of promises that the city made to our community. And our local council member has not been able, at least to date, to ensure that those promises are kept.
And who were you talking about?
Councilman Levin, I think, has made efforts to try and hold the city accountable, but we haven't seen the progress. And when the rezoning was passed, we were promised 38 acres of park space along the waterfront. When the rezoning was passed, we were promised 3,500 units of affordable housing. When the rezoning was passed, we were promised significant retention of the industrial and manufacturing jobs that existed in our community. And in fact, the only promise that was kept from the time of the rezoning was to the developers, that they could build as recklessly as they wanted. And
do you think this has to do with Bloomberg and his administration?
Definitely. I think that you had 8 different developers that purchased property along the Greenpoint waterfront that purchased property for such significant amount sums of money that only dense luxury housing will allow them to break even.
So can we, I won't say look forward to, but can we dread that what has happened near the edge is going to happen by the India Street pier?
That is.
And basically our future is to have big, huge, ugly high-rises.
That's the plan. And part of the reason they haven't happened yet is because Greenpoint is in the north side. The G train ain't the L.
But these properties have already been purchased and there's
the plans exist, and I think that these developers are generally waiting for the right opening in the market. This mayor will never change the zoning of the Greenpoint waterfront. Not going to happen. Would a future mayor consider?
So the Greenpoint waterfront isn't zoned yet for residential?
No, it was rezoned at the same time that the Northside waterfront was rezoned. It was all one rezoning.
So you're saying there's no chance that it's going to be zoned back to what it was?
There's no chance for a downzoning
okay.
of the Greenpoint waterfront during this mayor's administration. Mayor Bloomberg has 16 months to go, and we have to organize and hope and think creatively about how we can change things in a future administration before it's way too late.
What are you going to do if you don't win?
I'm going to continue to be an activist in the neighborhood. I think that if we were to not be successful in this re-election campaign, it might encourage more people in the neighborhood to be more invested in our political process, to take our responsibility even more seriously, because things are only going to change when we change them, and when we roll up our sleeves and we do it ourselves. And I think that win or lose, this is our home, and we're committed to making it the best neighborhood it can be. And I think that our political power is only going to grow, and our political influence, I should say, is only going to grow so that our agenda can be realized, and so that we can see the park spaces, so that we can see the improvements in mass transit, so that we can see the development of affordable housing, and so that this can be a responsibly developed community.
Well, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you
for everyone who is theoretically listening right now. Awesome.
Breakfast was great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jen. John.
Thanks, John.
Thanks for listening to our first Green Pointers podcast.